In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus one of the most discouraging examples of human dissatisfaction that you could possibly find in the history of the Bible. And it is about dissatisfaction with a regular life experience that the word brings to our attention today. What happened is that God had gone to this unbelievable length to free the children of Israel from their captivity in Egypt. Now they are in the wilderness, and all of a sudden they are beginning to idealize where they used to be. They are hankering after the tawdry, awful, impossible situation they were, because where they are is beginning to turn difficult and arduous. And this is really what happens to everybody who's ever lived, and in particular you, when you are dissatisfied. Because what happens is, I'm not happy in the situation, so I begin to idealize the past situation I was in. All of a sudden, something that I used to complain about and grumble about all the time is beginning to look better and better because I'm unhappy where I am now. Let me give you some examples. Any of you going to college? Any of you getting ready to leave home and go to school, wherever it is you go? Well, chances are you've been just dying to get out of your parents', you know, under my thumb. You want to get out of the under the thumb of mom and dad and the home, and you ought to hear what your parents haven't heard, but you told your girlfriends, but my gosh, you are just can't stand it. You want to get out. Now you suddenly find yourself at UVA or W&L or wherever it happens to be, Penn, and you are miserable. I'm warning you, if you're going away to college, if you're going away to boarding school, you're going away anywhere you're going, you will suddenly find yourself, surprise, surprise, hankering after what I lost. Freshmen in college get paralyzed with homesickness. The most rebellious, difficult kid, and you're it, by the way, you're it, you become paralyzed with hankering after where you were. But it's not just college kids. You've decided, you know, you hate your job. So you decided in mid-career to get an MBA, right? You worked your proverbial you-know-what off to get this MBA. Heaven must have sent you. And then you arrive in your first job, and you know, it's a complete and total drag. You had no idea. I worked all this hard for this, you know, or you went to dental school to get a new qualification so you could do root canals. Well, let me tell you, root canals are not that much more interesting than routine dental hygiene. The point is, you thought it was going to be better than it is. What about you? I mean, you change your careers. What about you change your wife? Okay, you traded in your 80% wife for a 20% wife. Now, you didn't realize she was a 20% wife until about 12 months into it. And then you begin to think to yourself, you won't tell anybody else, and you're going to grit your teeth because you're in it for life, baby. But the point is, you are in it. But what you're thinking is, my heavens, I didn't see that other person clearly at all, given what I'm now dealing with. Now, it happens in relationships. It happens with kids and any of us who hanker after something. What about the old geographical cure? Who here doesn't think that you'll be happier in, I don't know, Fairhope or the Hudson River, or San Diego, or maybe just 10 miles away from here. Am I talking to you? And then you get there, and you miss Birmingham. You know, we've been in France for 2 weeks, you know? I mean, give me a break. Gorgeous meals, 24 hours a day, sybaritic lifestyle. Can't wait to get back to Birmingham, but the moment you get off the plane, Provence, olive oil, you know, lavender. Now, this is what happens, and it's about you. It's a big thing. It's not a small thing. Maybe you're idealizing a past period in your life. Anybody here idealizing a certain period in your life where your spirit took off? Boy, you were happy. You know, I was listening to that song, Traces of Love. Remember the song, Traces of Love? Faded photographs, souvenirs of old love letters. And it reminded me on the oldies station of a certain period in my life. And what I'd love to go back to Chapel Hill and the old well and so-and-so. Well, that's not what I thought then. I was beside myself with misery. Now, this is why this is for you, this message. It's not for somebody else. You're here. It's for you. You came. And the message is, the children of Israel said, would that we had died in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full. Not, where's Wayne's World when you need him? No, it was terrible. They complained and complained and complained until God said, I have heard the laments of my people in Israel, and I have come to tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. But that's not how they saw it in the wilderness. They said, would that we were back in the flesh pots of Egypt, because you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us with hunger. Well, can you identify with your dissatisfaction? Now, the great thing is that Moses, the leader, and Aaron, they don't take it personally. And by the way, if you're a clergyman, this is the only way you'll ever survive in the ministry. Don't take criticism personally, but it's the same if you're an executive. It's the same if you're a doctor. It's the same if you're a manager. Never take criticism perfectly. It's a father-son thing. It's always a sibling thing. It's always some kind of, it's not you, but you think it's you. Moses is given by God to know that it's not about him, it is about God. It says in verse 9, you have been murmuring against the Lord. But what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, said Moses to Aaron, but against the Lord. Now, this is vital. If you're dissatisfied today, it will do no help to complain about the fellow that brought you into this mess. It will do nothing for you to complain about the circumstances that got you in this thing. It will do absolutely nothing to blame her, to blame him, to blame them. Because it's really about God, because God brought you there. Now, you know that I believe this. God is in everything. In everything. You may not believe that, but I believe it. He was with you in the shower this morning. He was with you in every single telephone conversation you've had all week. He heard every word. He was with you in every dream you had this week, and he accompanied you through every backbiting remark you made unguardedly. He was there the entire time, no one else was, but he was there. It is about God and you. Your murmurings, said Aaron and Moses, are not against us, but against the Lord. Now, this is the message to Europe. Now, you may not care. This is a slight aside, but it's important. The Europeans have written off God completely. That vast 99% of the Europeans see God as some kind of medieval theme park thing that used to happen in churches that are now visited by Americans. They don't have this idea. But they're just as miserable as you are. The average Frenchman is just as miserable. He's just as stressed. You've driven in Paris recently? Just ride to work in Paris. He is just as upset. The average Swiss person is just as stressed. He has just as many life insurance policies to pay. He has his whole image, his maleness, his femaleness. It's all there. You think they're any different? But because I'm constantly telling him, don't you understand? Stress is not about you. It's about the power that brought you into being. Call it whatever you want. It's about God. And I keep trying to tell the Germans, it's about God. It's about whoever is in charge. Don't even call it God. Call it Nostradamus. I don't really care. But it's not you. It's about the one with whom you have to do. And the Europeans have got to start facing the fact that they're dealing with reality, which is not superficial. It's God brought them into this place. So your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Now, how does that relate to you? If you're dissatisfied in your current marriage, hopefully it's your first, but you never know. Life has broken many people. If you're upset with your mother and father, if you're deeply hankering after a period of your life when you felt free as opposed to bondage, well, it's to God. Direct your need to God. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to him. Talk to Jesus Christ about it. Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. He's the only one who can do anything about it. Do you think I can do anything about it? Do you think she can do anything about it? Do you think your mother can do anything about it? God is the only one who can do anything about it. And this is a powerful thing. They came to this unbelievably unattractive murmuring, totally irrational. And Moses says, don't talk to me. It's about the Lord. Now he finishes up, because this story is very helpful. You see, people when they get in a complaining, dissatisfied mode are impossible to live with. You live with a man who's always dissatisfied with what he's doing. I mean, do you live with anybody who's nothing, you know, they tell me, I hear it at funerals, you know, thank you, buried Bill today, and he was a nice guy, but let me tell you, he was one of those people who could never be happy anywhere with anything, with anybody. I must hear it, we hear it once a week. He was a nice man. I loved him, for heaven's sake, for 40 years. These are his grandchildren. But you know, nothing was ever good enough for her. She was carping and carping and carping till the day she died. Now, this woman was dissatisfied. Now, the thing about dissatisfied people, and you may be one of them, is that you're not a fun person to be around. The more dissatisfied you get, the more your mate, the more your friends, the more your loved ones give you the berth. You know, this is why people who are dissatisfied and grumbling all the time have a new thing to grumble about that nobody wants to talk to them anymore. Nobody wants to listen to them anymore, because you just get sick and tired of hearing a litany of dissatisfaction when the obvious fact of the matter is there's tons to give thanks about. Well, if you're one of those people, you know how people move away from you. Well, God does not. And this is the powerful point that I would like to ask you to take home. God does not. He is not, unlike me or you or somebody else, he is not edged away by an angular, cranky, complaining, whining person. Because it says, the Lord spoke to them and said, I will provide, and a kind of a dew of manna that we call manna, a bread-like substance came under the ground, and they said, what is it? They didn't even know it was the answer to their prayers. And Moses said to them, it is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Well, I'm the love of God. I mean, imagine loving an angular, complaining, whining person. This is not your typical victim. This is not your lame person. This is not your retarded child. This is not your breast cancer. This is not your sad, sorrow widower. This is not your grieving widow. This is not your child who's been rejected by the cheerleaders at school. This is the difficult, this is the woman with the issue of blood, who was just so, we have people like this in our lives all the time, that they're not honest, that they're incredibly dishonest about their need, but the need is throbbing in them. The need is, you can see it a mile away. Do you want to have Thanksgiving dinner with that person? The need is throbbing within them, and they don't even acknowledge it. But Jesus Christ healed her. He said, go, thy faith has made thee whole. Or the tax collector, who was an awful, venal man, but he did climb to the top of the tree, and Jesus welcomed him. Now, this is you. If you're a dissatisfied person, he's for you. I know people who've gotten promotions that are unbelievable. Suddenly, you go from nothing, five employees, you got 1,000 employees. And the first thing they tell me, you know, I hate my job. I wish I were back. Well, this is for you. If you're a dissatisfied person, this is for you. If your marriage is really pretty much on automatic pilot, and in this day and age, watch, if it's on automatic pilot, somebody's coming down the line. Remember that. If it's on automatic pilot, this is for you. If your work is frustrating and it's a rote and you hate it, this is for you. It says that this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. I am the world's worst example of my own sermon. I was in a car in Norfolk, England once, complaining my heart out about the parish that I used to serve. And I did this, and the church has been that, and they've been unfair about this, and Bishop so-and-so, and that, and the senior warden, and my gifts, and nobody's looking at me, and I'm not having any success, and da-da, and da-da. It was all wrong, by the way. Anybody who could have looked outside it wouldn't have seen it. And all my friends just said, oh, golly, is Paul going to complain one more time? But Mary finally said, thank God, or somebody said, who are you talking to about this? Talk to him about your dissatisfaction. And he's not going to run away. He's not going to go out and wash the car. He's not going to go to a movie. He's going to listen, and he's going to provide for you, even at your worst moments. As we're seated, let us pray. Dear God, help us to know when and where we are dissatisfied. And please, dear Father, unproject our upsetment from people and things to you, who art the creator and maker of all. And then, in thy great mercy for us, love us again and find for us in the midst of our situation manna from heaven. And this I pray for each of us today, for the sake of Jesus Christ. our Lord. Amen.